We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. For nearly 20 years, one of the go-to contemporary sources on Milwaukee history has been John Gerda's book, The Making of Milwaukee. The book was first published in 1999 and tells immaculately researched stories from the area's earliest settlement through the cultural, political, and business landscape here at the turn of the century.
But while there were some revisions in subsequent editions, it was not until now that The Making of Milwaukee brought readers fully into the 21st century. The new edition of the book is just out and includes an entirely new chapter that covers Milwaukee history from 2000 to the present. John Gerda joins us ahead of the launch event for the book on Saturday. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Mitch.
So, you know, the first thing that jumps out at me in reading the updated part of the book, the latest chapter, the post-millennium chapter, is how odd it feels to be reading this in the past tense.
And I think that's true. I mean, history is walking into this room. So it's very recent, but the difficulty in writing that last chapter was it's very much in your face. So trying to decide, you know, what's going to last.
I wondered about that, right? As a historian, is it more challenging to evaluate the present or the recent past than a distinct period from long ago?
Much more so. I think as I wrote in the book, if you look far enough back, the signposts stand up obligingly. So they almost announce themselves. Eras and epochs, breakdowns and breakthroughs. But for instance, in this last chapter, what impact will Foxconn have? The election had not been held when we were about to go to a press, so Tony Evers is now in the index. And that was a late ad. So these things are so present that any perspective is just about impossible. At the same time, you know, responsibly, you have to say this is part of what's going on in Milwaukee in the 21st century.
As we look at the last 18 years, there are obviously things that if you were writing this book, you know, 50 years from now, mm-hmm. that would have been forgotten about. Do you feel some responsibility to keep that from happening at some level? Is there, you know, as the historian, do you get to decide that this will from here on out be history? I mean, it seems like a flip question, but
in some ways it's an awesome responsibility. In some ways, in other ways, it's kind of you know, who cares? You know, it's kind of you're sort of looking at one version, one person's version of one community's past. But I do feel a responsibility to, as long as I can, keep this book in print and up to date for whatever generation of readers, you know, who is here. So yes, this is something that you know, looking back in 50 years from now, people will make their own judgments about whether I was right or wrong. But I felt a responsibility to keep this current.
So let's talk about this latest chapter. You start in a really interesting place. What inspired you to look at the data center at, what is it, 32nd and Highland as a place to kick off the new millennium?
The book has always begun with a Wednesday at the Potawatomi Casino. And there's so much symbolism there because you're looping back, obviously, to Native times in Milwaukee. And the return of natives to their ancestral ground, and the Menominee Valley having been a hugely important source of riches for the ancestral tribes here. And now, under a very different dispensation, it is a critical source of wealth for the current tribe. And again, that line about reclaiming that wealth one gambler at a time. So that was the opening of the book and has been in all the editions. And so here you are, you know, 20 years later, and you've got the Potawatomi tribe is essentially hedging its bets on gaming and opened a $36 million data center in the Concordia neighborhood, which is essentially a hotel for the computers of businesses, nonprofits, large organizations. You know, with apparently data lines that are the size of fire hoses kind of going in there. So it's just a very neat kind of a comeback, internally, almost like music. You kind of come back in music, you sort of go back to the theme. So begin the book on the theme of native wealth and close the book on the next generations, the coming generations. Capacity to reinvent itself and look ahead to a new technological future. So that was a kind of a neat neat kind of a connection to make.
Well, and also it kind of speaks as a larger metaphor for the community's reinvention of itself.
Absolutely. And kind of looking back at the kind of the foundation of history, but you're kind of moving forward on a basis of technology. And that has changed everything in terms of how we communicate, how we work, and how we look ahead to our own futures.
The other image that really stayed with me was this imagining of a night flight over Lake Michigan and how the lights, you know, have spread out from Chicago in the recent years.
You know, I've done that actual flight coming from the south. A lot of us have, kind of coming up the center of Lake Michigan when you're coming from the south, Charlotte or Atlanta, someplace down south. And the comparison was within the early days, it would have been the soft and incandescent glow that you would barely have seen from cruising altitude. And now you've got these pools of light in Chicago, and that's pretty much continuous up to the state line, and then pools of light in Kenosha, then Racine, then Milwaukee, and the terminal darkness going all the way up into the UP. And the point I was trying to make is that even as we have, you know, the essential story of Milwaukee being its own story, you know, very distinctive, very unique, it's also part of this emerging region that will, in the next generation or two, be one continuous pool of light from South Bend to Madison and up into the Fox Valley. So you have everything taking place in the Milwaukee area has to be seen in the context of this kind of, I called it a runaway regionalization. And where you see that really, I mean, look at Foxconn and Uline and Amazon, the whole corridor down to I-94, a lot of change going on.
Right, and I think if we looked at the lights from that corridor today, it would be a fairly narrow band extending north from, say, Kenosha to Milwaukee. But I wonder if 5, 6, 10 years from now, that band will have gotten wider and wider.
It'll be wider and longer, and I think you see it especially going west to Madison. Now there are people commuting in both directions, you know, from Jefferson or Lake Mills. And it'll be a longer time coming, but you'll also see the band going up to the Fox Valley as well. So certainly a huge change.
The last 18 years in Milwaukee have really represented sort of a sea change in politics as well. You, I think, alluded to this earlier in the interview, but at the dawn of the millennium, it was really there was a fairly long-held stability in local and regional politics.
Absolutely.
Here.
In 2000, things were pretty much as they had been for some time. 1988 was kind of a watershed election. Dave Schultz becomes kind of the new guy in the county executive seat, and John Norquist as mayor of Milwaukee. So those two were kind of the next generation, but they sort of fell into that long-term pattern of stability, you know, long tenures. Schultz less so, certainly, but Norquist was there for, you know, until 04. So you have, you know, this feeling of longevity, stability. The pension scandal hits, the caucus scandal hits, and the wheels really fall off the bus. And then you have, you know, the rise of Scott Walker as a reformer coming in and kind of riding the pension scandal to his term as county executive for 8 years from 2002 to 2010, and that set the stage for certainly much more happening on the state level. So it was really tumultuous politically and remains so.
Although you make the point that that Mayor Barrett came into office at a really tumultuous period, but has subsequently been reelected by fairly substantial margins. At some point, you would imagine, whether it's the next election or some election down the road, there's going to be, you know, we're going to return to a time of turnover.
We will, and we will have a black mayor. In the next generation, but certainly probably early in the next generation, we'll have a black mayor because the city's population is around 40% African American. So that's the next kind of change that we'll see.
The other change that has happened at a fairly rapid rate in downtown and spreading a little bit out of downtown is just the physical appearance of the city, whether you're talking about the Menominee Valley or the skyscrapers on the lakefront.
It's been remarkable. I recall a magazine story back in the 80s. I think it was Milwaukee Magazine talking about the now downtown's done. that renovation, right. You know, it really changed it. No, you have just this remarkable capacity for cities to reinvent themselves, reimagine themselves. And I was surprised to find that since 2005, this is not on the drawing boards. This is projects that are either in the ground or going into the ground. $5 billion of reinvestment, that is unprecedented. We have never had, you know, that level of investment in downtown Milwaukee. And it's not just downtown. You've got the Menominee Valley. Someone I was doing a tour a couple of years ago for class of 1955 from Shorewood and Whitefish Bay High Schools. Some of these folks had not been to Milwaukee in 40 years, took them to the valley. They did not recognize the place. They did not know where they were physically. So that transformation is going on. The Harbor District is, I think, the next Menominee Valley between, you know, downtown and the Bayview neighborhood. You know, that area is just brimming with energy. The area kind of farther north along Commerce Street, Brewers Hill, moving up into Harambe. So a lot of vectors of energy kind of spreading out. So it's been a remarkable transformation.
And interesting, at the dawn of the millennium, the Park East Freeway still existed.
That's right. And that was a lot of, you know, the Park East was a very expensive off-ramp, you know, took people from the freeway, the 43, into downtown. John Norquist spent a whole lot of political capital having that torn down, and it gave Milwaukee a sizable area of land to develop in the very, very heart of town. That doesn't happen very often in urban America. So what you have there, obviously, is the Fiserv Forum, the entertainment district, hotels, housing. So there's been just, again, a transformation there. And up in the northwest corner, the Pabst redevelopment, Joe Zilber's group has really taken that on. So what had been pretty much a dead corner of downtown is just surging with life.
You say northwest. That's the northwest corner of downtown.
Right.
There is a vast portion of Milwaukee that's still kind of waiting for that.
And it's kind of the downtown area and kind of the adjacent neighborhoods. And at the same time, you know, you don't want to push the Dickensian model of the Tale of Two Cities. But that's going on here as it is going on in Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Detroit. And it's all around the urban north especially, where you have, as deindustrialization has continued, you have catastrophic unemployment, and the near north side especially. So those neighborhoods north of Harambe, Amani, Metcalf Park, the whole area around Lindsay Heights, they were really hammered by the Great Recession of 2007-2008, foreclosures, teardowns. So there's been just a... The term I think I used was Detroitization, like in the Lindsay area. That population has gone down from 40-something to 5 or 6,000 in the years since 1950 or so. So certainly there has been counterbalancing all the positive developments going on in the central part of the city. There's been continuing misery, continuing distress.
At the same time, as a historian, it must be interesting to look back at pictures from, say, 1950 and see streetcars, and look at pictures from the end of 2018 and see streetcars.
Yeah, there's kind of a deja vu all over again, kind of going on down there. And the hop, I think certainly the important thing to note there is that it was kind of use it or lose it federal funding. And I think of it as sort of a starter line. Now it's 2.1 miles. So with the Couture, it'll be 2.5 going out to the lake. But I think the real test is how much we get into the habit of the hop and how much impetus there is for expanding that line.
Well, that'll be something for the fifth edition.
<You're right>.
John Goerda, congratulations on edition number 4. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Mitch.
Historian John Goerda is the author of numerous books on Milwaukee, including the latest edition of his book, The Making of Milwaukee, which is just out. He'll talk about it tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Milwaukee County Historical Society on Old World 3rd Street. He'll also sign books and chat with people next Saturday at Boswell Book Company.